never done a PowerPoint before, and I found out yesterday that I put way too much on and not big enough font, so you'll have to work on the paper copy probably. And so there's sometimes I even want to use the lights.
I need for both of them. Well, it's interesting, in the revenue office, we have a light system for Bill also.
Did everybody have a copy? What I'm going to try to do today is provide a general overview of where we are as a state local system, a finance system, and how it relates to other states and how it relates to the Nebraska economy as measured by gross state product and state personal income. In the first part, these slides 1 through 6, I try to compare U.S. Census Bureau data and Census of Government data. I'll show both the revenue side, but also show some on the expenditure side. We're not here to get into a lot of the expenditure side, but we did want to show a perspective as kind of where we stood on different things. Again, as I mentioned, we look at it as a combined state and local system in total, especially when you're trying to compare to other states, because there's so much variety in terms of the relationships of how states handle things. Some will apply at the state level, distributed back to the local level, some assume state functions. There's a variety of them, so we think it's better to look at it as a combined state-local system. The second part, which would be slides 17 to 16, at this point I shift gears to Nebraska-specific data. It's not using the Census Bureau data, it's using data that I collect from specific state sources. And at that point, we can then start isolating a little bit between state and local. The Census Bureau data level, they give you state and they give you local, and then combined, but they don't break down the locals into any certain type of local. They used to do much more, now it's like every 5 years, so it's much older data. You can actually get it by individual type of subdivision. Again, like I said, I'm using the state local data from the Census Bureau. The last year is fiscal year 2009-10. What I've been doing over the years, and every time there's a new release, I download it to spreadsheets, keep track over time. I reformat it a little bit to me it's easier to follow and read than the raw data if you actually go to their website. The numbers should be the same, it's just reformatted and shown a little bit different. One of the differences you will note is in my calculations, they'll release the data. They'll also have data on per capita and as a percent of personal income. They'll have various rankings. They'll issue a published report, let's say 89, 90, and they use the data at that point in time. What I do is the finance data stays the same, but they're constantly revising personal income numbers and population numbers. And then they'll put in actual numbers when it becomes every 10 years. So when I do my calculations, it's always using the latest available personal income and population data. And it actually can make a significant difference because a lot of times it's a pretty narrow band between 20th or 30th, so you can jump around as they change the data. So just want to let you know, sometimes you may see a ranking or something in this data and it won't necessarily be exactly the same if you see it another place. If that happened, it's because it's using the later personal income and population data. This slide, I start with the state local finance on the revenue side. There are several parts to this sheet, and it's hard to see. I tried to put too much stuff on one page. For each side, the left-hand side shows the data as a percent of personal income. That's state personal income as reported by the Census Bureau, or excuse me, the Bureau of Economic Analysis. The right-hand side shows on a ranking, on a per capita basis. Most of the time you'll see data, some people will use one method, some will use other methods. Actually, I think what's probably the best is, I think expenditure data probably should be used more on a per capita basis, since it tends to relate more to per capita. I'd like to use percent of personal income data when it comes to the tax and revenue side, because that kind of relates more to the ability to pay type of the situation. In each of those categories, I have three columns. One is the U.S. average, the second is the six-state average, and then Nebraska, and then where Nebraska ranks. The averages are not an average of an average, especially when you start talking about the six states. These are the six that surround Nebraska. What it comes up to doing the average is really the sum of everything in that state divided by the sum of the income. So it's not like taking each of the six and saying, what's the average of each six average? It's collectively as if all six happen to be one single state. So it's more of like a weighted type of an average, because the larger states would tend to push it higher. Same way with the U.S. average, the way they calculate the U.S. average. One of the key points on this, it starts out in the revenue. You'll see there's a subtotal taxes, then a subtotal of total general revenue. The bottom line, you'll see total revenue. One of the things when I try to make comparisons, which we'll do later, is I do not use the total revenue line. And one of the reasons it's difficult using the total revenue is you'll see where it says utility revenues. That's our public power. We're the only one that has public power. That really skews all of our rankings in the data when you throw utility revenues in on that. You can see where the percent of personal income were 18 when it's total revenue, but 31 when it's general revenue, and that's a big one on utility revenue. So a lot of times you'll see, you might hear census data, and you'll hear different things, and a lot of times what you're hearing is going to be the total revenue side, which does include your public power district. As I mentioned, the total general revenue, you'll see right here, we basically are ranked 31st. We're right at the U.S. average, just slightly above the six state average. When you go a little bit up above a couple rows, you'll see the subtotal on taxes. There we show we're 22nd, 10.6%. The surrounding states 9.9, the U.S. average 10.7. This page is similar to the previous page, only it breaks it down on an expenditure level, the state local expenditures. Again, you'll see at the bottom where it has total expenditures. That's similar to what I mentioned on the previous page, where utility expenditures shoots us way up again. What I like to compare is using direct general expenditures. That correlates very closely to the previous page, which is total general revenues. So there's an apples and apples comparison between what's shown as direct general expenditure here and what's total general revenue on the previous page. In this case, you'll see under direct general expenditures, we actually rank 33rd as a percent of personal income. We're higher in areas of higher education, elementary, secondary, and highway. We're actually in the 40s when it comes to public safety, government administration, and 37 in health and welfare. By the way, what this tends to say is we're just almost on the note saying as the six-state average is 21.8, we're at 21. The next slide takes the state and local finance, both the expenditure side and the revenue side, and simply calculates the percentage of total. This is a little similar to what Bill was kind of talking about earlier. again, you can see a little bit, we're a little bit higher on the expenditure side in terms of higher education, elementary, secondary. Little bit lower in health and welfare, public safety, government administration, and much lower when it comes to interest on general debt. Obviously, we don't borrow much at the state level. One thing, one key I think is important, when you go down to the bottom, you'll see subtotal taxes and then get down to total general revenue. When it comes to the total, taxes actually reflect about 50% of the total amount used to finance the direct general expenditures. Charging miscellaneous and intergovernmental. We're actually a little bit lower on intergovernmental, which, because it's a state and local system, the only intergovernmental in this case is federal funds. We tend to be lower on that aspect. I suspect one of the reasons we're lower in that is because, frankly, we're 37th in health and human services, and that's where a lot of federal funds are. So it may not be any other distribution issues other than we're lower expenditures in that area, and that's where the federal matching funds are. This next table shows the average percent change or average growth over a 20-year period in all these different areas. One advantage of being able to keep, like say, every year downloading this data is I can then, and put it in a consistent format, I can then look and track it, percent changes over a period of time. The left-hand side, the three areas on the left-hand side are the total. And that would be the total amount of revenues or expenditures. The right-hand side shows on a per capita. We actually have had about 0.7% per year growth in population. So you'll end up seeing the percentages on a per capita basis are going to be lower than the percentages of the total. If I can go over on the per capita side and the direct general expenditure, you'll see we're at 4.9 over that time period. The six state average 5.1, the US average 4.6. On the revenue side, 4.1 on taxes, 3.9 versus the six surrounding states. Total general revenue, 4.6, Nebraska, 4.8. During that same period, state personal income, the average growth in state personal income was 4.8%. The average growth in the gross state product was 5%. So they're relatively matched between the growth in revenue spending over 20 years and economic indicators. The next, that finishes the data using the census data. Now I'm going to start and switch to state-specific data. And what I'm going to try to do here is take more of what our major state and local taxes are in total and who levies them and what they are, and then take those same revenues and switch them over to who's the ultimate user. In reality, what it does is it takes state aid to local governments, takes it out of the state expenditure side, puts them over on the local side. So you see who actually uses the revenue, not necessarily who collects it or where it shows up as an expenditure. The major state local taxes that I include, obviously property taxes. And what I'll use here is I refer to it as net property taxes. The reason I say net property taxes is I include the data from the certificate of taxes levied, official how much was levied, and from that I then subtract out homestead exemption and I subtract out the property tax credit, because those will end up showing up as state aid as we do a reimbursement later on. So they'll still show up as revenue source to schools, but not as school property tax, but as homestead exemption reimbursement and property tax credit. So when you see property tax data in here, it is net of those two main items. The second thing is later on I'll be showing that from 72 to 92 to 2012. As Bill mentioned, during that time period, we shifted motor vehicle from an ad valorem property tax levy to a tax and a fee structure. Be consistent over a 40-year period, and on my end, I take that as it has from property tax, because that's what it was in earlier years, so I have a better apples to apples. If I don't do that, if you look at property tax and levy, it gets kind of skewed, because it looks like there's a $200 million property tax reduction, a big property tax relief in that year, even though we were basically taking it out of the ad valorem property tax, putting it back in as another tax. So it gets a little bit misleading there. Before I finish, one quick note at the bottom is, on the revenue side, I do not have data on some of the taxes at the local level, such as inheritance tax, meal tax, occupation tax, and franchise. Historically, we have not collected, and even to this day, there's really not a single place in our state data sources that we can go collect those data. So keep in mind, those amounts are not necessarily included here. But the four big ones, the gas tax, sales tax, individual property tax, and income tax, are all four of those are included in this data, including city sales tax and sales tax on motor vehicles. As I mentioned earlier, the use of the major tax, in this case, I'll take state general expenditures, or state general fund expenditures, which is operations and aid to individuals and capital construction. That's the state use. I then take state aid to local governments and allocate them to the respective local subdivisions. So when I start talking about the use of the major state and local tax, as an example for K-12 schools, it would include TIOSA aid and other general fund aid like special education and those things. It would include property taxes levy, net collected, and then the homestead and property tax credit reimbursement. Also the school share of the motor vehicle taxes and fees. Cities, it would include the mutual equalization fund, homestead exemption, property tax credit, city sales tax, property taxes, and their share of motor vehicle tax. So that kind of starts with the mix of those. The first chart that I wanted to show over time on our major state and local taxes is, you'll see a 5-year increment starting in 1967, 68, going up to the latest date of 1112. You can see some changes clearly. Property taxes went from 6.8% of personal income to the current 4.1. There are going to be shifts in there. I think the key point to me on this table is, if you look down the right hand side, you'll see we started at 11.5, we're 11.2, today we're at 10.2. So major state and local taxes, the percent state personal income stayed relatively constant during that time period. It's fluctuated up or down, but you'll see in the next chart, this shows the fluctuations of those major state and local taxes and percent of personal income over time. The thick line in the middle is the average during that time period. And you can see it wraps up and down and around, but it stays right around in that range. I was just glancing at the last data, and I think we were at 10.2. I looked at a bunch of all other states. I think about 35 states are within plus or minus 1% from 10.5. So the bulk of the states are right in that 9.5 to 11.5, and then 10.5 in the middle. There's a few outliers, but some of those get, like Wyoming is very high because they have all the coal tax, and when you calculate this, it comes out as high as percent personal income, but they don't pay that as individuals. The next chart, what I show here is the state, what is state levy versus what is locally levy. Now, state levy would be, we levy the state tax at the state level, we turn around and then give a significant portion to the local, but it actually shows up as state collected and levy tax rate. One quick note that I did notice, the very last fiscal year shown, that should be 2011-12. The data's correct, I didn't get the fiscal year corrected, so if you can pencil that in, that should be 11-12 instead of 07-08 in the column. What you'll see here, when we started, clear back in 67, 68, 60% was locally levied, again, reflecting the property tax. And then we started phasing it up as we went into the sales and income tax time period. It first crossed on the chart, the fixed state levy and local, it crossed basically starting in 76. That was when we started exempting business inventory, livestock, and farm machinery, and started putting in state reimbursements. That's when we first started crossing. Plus, I think there was about a 50 million hike in state aid. We went from 25 to 50, and then up a little higher during that time period. Then it flattened out. It closed a little bit in the late 80s. You'll see it jump up again in the late 80s. That was the start of basically 1059, when enacted sales and income tax increase of when school aid 1059. And that's where you see that jump up in the line graph. So right now, at the current time, about 55% of all major state local taxes are levied at the state level, about 45% at the local level. The next slide, in this case, all it looks at is what I call the big three, the sales tax, income tax, and property tax. Back in the old days, they kept talking about, kept referring to a one-third, 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 because that should be the right mix of property tax. Sometimes not even today, there's a lot of discussion about that. So I try to show here in the mix only the percentage of total between those three. And you'll notice currently, sales tax 27.4, total income tax 29 roughly, and total property tax about 44. There's a very significant shift from 71-72 to 91-92. You'll see during that 20-year time period, property tax went from 69% down to 42%. The other thing, since 91-92, it's virtually unchanged. The mix has been virtually unchanged in the last 20 years. One thing to note, I mentioned yesterday to the guys, this table would have looked significantly different if I would have done this 2 years ago. And the reason it would look significantly different is 91-92 was the first full year of implementation of 1059 for the school aid, the sales and income tax hike for school aid. So 2 years ago, the 10 to 20 year increments would have been 2 years prior, it would have been the year prior to 1059. And it would have looked like we hadn't done much in the first 20 years, and we did a lot in the last 20. So it kind of depends on your point, your starting point of where it is. But anyway, this just gives you an idea of where we are relative to the one-third. Sales tax gets a little bit trickier. If you look at only state sales tax and state income tax, it looks like it's much higher on the income tax than sales tax. But what that's not including is the city sales tax on motor vehicles. So when you look at it as a system, it looks a little bit different than if I looked and did this only relating to state general funds. But it tells a little bit different story when you throw in a significant amount of local sales tax. The last two tables, and this table that I'm showing here, this shows the source of the major state and local taxes in 10-year increments going from 72 to 92, or 20 years, 92 to 12. The middle area shows the average growth in each of the areas over the last 20 years. And the right-hand side then shows what the percentage of the total during that same time period. This differs a little bit from the previous page. The previous page only talked about the three major taxes. This throws in gas tax, motor vehicle registration, and state miscellaneous. The key question, I think, the grand total of all of the major state and local taxes, the growth, 4.8%. If you remember what I said from grasp of personal income, also grew at 4.8% during that period, which really is a surprise because our taxes as a percent of personal income have stayed in that relatively same level. That's about all I have. The last one shows the use of the major state and local taxes. And again, if you remember when I look at the state use at the top, that basically state operations plus AOQ individuals. The bottom half, K-12 schools, county cities, I have community colleges and ESUs added together. The reason I have to do that is my older, much older data, all the other property taxes levy data, they combine the two. So to be consistent over the 40-year period, I have to end up basically adding those two. The most significant increase during that 20-year period, again, the total spending growth in that 20-year period on the state use of major taxes 4.3%, local use 4.7% for a total of 4.5%. The largest growth was in the state aid individuals, which averaged about 7%. The largest item that would be included now would be Medicaid, but actually the latest, there was an awful lot of developmental disabilities, the waiting list, and behavioral health, especially when we started phasing down the regional centers and shifting more to community based. So it wasn't just Medicaid that pushed that growth up. That's actually been one of the most significant changes you'll see in 1972. State aid individuals and others was 3.6% of the total. Major use of major state and local taxes is not 13.4%. That's about the only category that grew significantly. The other one, which I thought was kind of interesting on K-12 schools, is in 72, they were 40.1% of the total. In 92, they were 38.2%. Remember, that was the first year of 1059. So their use of the major state and local. If you look at inside the numbers, there was a significant shift in property to state aid, but their use of the combined state global hasn't really altered during that time period. Going back and matching them up, you remember on the one slide, about 55% of all the major state and local taxes are levied at the state level. The state uses about 35% of those. You can see up on the upper right, state use. And so as a system, the state levies about 55% of major taxes, we use about 35%. Local government, they cover about 45% of the major state local taxes in terms of levy, they use about 65%. So that difference in the state aid is shift from the state side to local. And that includes not just state aid and their general fund, but also the share of the motor vehicle tax. The gas tax that's distributed between what the state uses, how much goes to cities, and how much goes to counties. The last table I show here is just a summary. I think one of the keys we're trying to that we came out here, it does the 10-year increments 92 to 02, 02 to 12, and then the 20-year total. I mentioned it several times before. Grand total, source of tax is 4.8%, use of major tax is 4.5%, gross state product 5%, demographic personal income 4.9%. So all of that 20-year are pretty much the match. I did show at the bottom the demographic population and the consumer price index. There's lots of talk and there's been spending limitations that want to limit spending to the population plus CPI, and that would be about 3.2%. So yes, it has grown faster than population CPI, both revenue and expenditure, but it's grown at the same rate as personal income and the gross state product. And one reason we haven't raised is the state figure taxes since 92, except for the half that 1 year we used that